Almighty God, we want to thank you for this morning and the time we are going to spend in your presence. We pray that this will be a time of refreshing in Jesus' name. Lord, teach our hearts. And Lord Jesus, not only will you teach our hearts, but Father, give us that spirit of humility before you this morning, that we may walk in obedience to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't want to lean on our own understanding, but Lord, expouse your word to us afresh in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, may we not do violence to your word, but the word that will proceed out of our mouth this morning, Lord, establish it in Jesus' name. Teach us, O Lord, and we will follow. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are looking for some time now. You notice that we have been looking at understanding divorce. And today we are looking at understanding divorce, and we are looking at remarriage. And I want to go by what Paul said in Acts chapter 20 to the ministers in Ephesus. Paul said to them, as an apostle, he said, I've held back nothing that God has revealed to me from you. In other words, Paul taught the people everything that he knows or he knew. The same thing I'm doing this morning, teaching the church of God those things that I believe I know through the Spirit of God. And I've said it before, if it is written in the Bible, then it is worth preaching. Some people will not preach certain aspects of the Bible. As for me, I will preach every area of the Bible. If God can write it in the Bible, then it is meant to be preached. Praise the Lord. We are looking at understanding divorce. We are looking at remarriage today. And I want to believe God. And I also want to encourage us so that we ask questions. If there is anything you don't understand, please ask questions, because this is a matter of life and death. It is very, very important. Not only for those people who are involved in the marriage, but the children that they have. And they are children's children, because whatever our children know from us is what they will carry on with and they will pass on to their own children. So to me, this topic is very, very important. Okay. You will notice that, we've talked about divorce over a period of 2 weeks. In our discussion, let's bear in mind that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. And we will not turn aside from the strict scriptures in Jesus' name. So, for the 2 weeks that we considered divorce, we ended up talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 to 11. And if some of us listened to me in my contribution, not last week, the week before the last, and I said, when we start to talk again about divorce and remarriage, that I was going to speak to us about 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It says, now to the married, I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. And of course, we know the teaching is on our website. Okay, we can read it. Now, one of the things that I want us to know is that the word of God is very, very clear that as children of God, once you made your choice you have made your choice in life concerning marriage. People often say God is a God of second chance. There is no second chance in marriage. Once you have committed to somebody, God wants you to stay there. You will pray it. I've heard people before. In fact, when, thank God, that God just wanted to establish our feet in his kingdom. I remember when we first became born again, a very senior pastor in a church left his wife. And he was going to another woman. This woman will cook for him. He will eat there and do all sorts of things. And when the people concerned were asked, they said the wife of the pastor was possessed, that she had witchcraft and all sorts of things. And so they supported him to leave the wife. There's a saying in Yoruba land that the herbalist is the husband of the Ogbanje, the one that is always repeatedly dying and come back. That the herbalist is the husband. That is, he's the one that has the cure. So also, the child of God is the one that has the answer to life's problems. If a man marries a woman and the woman is a witch, and you are a child of God, you pray that witchcraft out of her life. You can't divorce her. If you marry a man and you think he has some evil powers, as we will see, you cannot divorce that man. You will pray that thing out of his life. You have made that commitment. You have to stand by it. That's what the word of God says. Remember, I've said, under no circumstance will I preside or support divorce. And by the grace of God, we intend to keep that in Jesus' name. But let's quickly look at some conditions under which people, under which somebody can leave their husband or their wife and marry again. Because we have to teach the whole of the Bible. Are there certain conditions under which somebody can leave their wife or their husband and marry again? Yes. According to the Bible. Not according to my gospel. Remarriage after death of a spouse. In Romans chapter 7 verse 2 to 3, the Bible says, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man." Listen to this word here. Only death releases the party in a marriage from their marriage obligation. Can we all hear that? Only death. So, if your spouse is doing something you don't like, pray that thing out of his or her life. Because you have made a vow and God recognizes it. Praise the Lord. I want us to note the word bound to her husband in Romans chapter 7, 2 to 3. In essence, the woman or the man is bound by the law that applies to marriage, divorce, putting away, and remarriage as long as both parties to the marriage are alive. That is, they both cannot marry another person so long as the other is alive in or out of that marriage. In or out of the original marriage. So, as long as the wife, the husband is alive, even if the woman goes to court and say, "I've divorced you," or the man goes to court and say, "I've divorced you," both of them cannot marry according to the Bible. As long as both of them are alive. Praise the Lord. The only option available to them is what? Is to go back and get reconciled to each other. God will help us to keep our homes in Jesus' name. The other condition that the Bible gives is remarriage after sexual immorality. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 8 to 10, Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits what? Adultery. Now, some people see this as a good opportunity. After their wives have had, or their husband, they've had kids together, or maybe things are not going as well as it used to, you know, and the other one makes a mistake and does something silly. As children of God, we must not be caught in that kind of situation. Some people would then take that advantage and say, yes, the Bible says I can divorce you. I want to believe, and this is what I will say, I want to believe that the law of forgiveness is greater than this. That we can forgive our wives, we can forgive our husbands. The law of forgiveness is, Jesus did not stipulate that by force you must divorce your wife or your husband if you catch them in adultery. It's saying if it has to come to that, that is the only condition. But then, if the person concerned repents, if I say forgiveness after the guilty party had repented is godly, I say repent because the erring party has been defiled. The person who went to join himself to another person, either a woman to another man or a man to another woman, has defiled him or herself. If they repent and they come, we should find a place to forgive them. Praise the Lord. We do not pray that that happens to you, but we must be able to forgive and move on. Now, if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 3 to 4, this was the law that Jesus was referring to, that Moses gave to the people. He said, if the later husband detests her and writes her a certificate of... Okay, you will not understand this except you start to read from verse 1. Basically, what Moses said to them is this. You can't just send your wife away. You have to put a certificate of divorce in her hand. And so the children of Israel now said, Moses said, once we give for any reason, once we give a certificate of divorcement, then we have divorced that person. And Jesus said to them, no. Because of the hardness of your heart, that's why Moses said that. He said the original intention of God is that they be one, indivisible, not to be divorced. He said, except for sexual immorality. And do you know, the Bible now goes on to say in Deuteronomy 24, verse 3 and 4, it says, if a woman or a man divorces his or her husband or wife and goes to another person and marry them, and later they change their mind and come back, he said, the previous husband should not take them again because that person has been defiled. It becomes an abomination before God. So, if God, the argument is this, if God recognizes that once you get a certificate of divorcement, you can go and marry another person, then why would God say the person is defiled where they went to? It simply means that it is not acceptable to God that the person will divorce and go and marry again. So for those people who are not yet married in the house, think carefully before you make your choice. Pray to God. Because there is no going back once you make that choice. Praise the Lord. So, the world would try to say they recognize second marriage. But God does not. God does not. Now, let me look at the third reason for remarriage after an unbeliever leaves a marriage. For remarriage after divorce. When an unbeliever leaves a marriage, when they are married to a believer and they choose to leave that marriage, this is an area that is causing a lot of, you know, argument. This is an area that is causing a lot of what? Argument. But I will quickly take us through some of the points that I want us to know. In some marriage circumstances, one spouse has faith and the other does not. He says some teach that in such cases, if the unbeliever wants to divorce, then they can, and the believer is free to remarry, and base this on 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. What do you think the word bondage means in this place? You say that brother or that sister is not under bondage in this case. Okay. In other words, what is the opposite of bondage? Free. So the brother or the sister is free. But remember, in Romans, the Bible says that in Romans 7, 2 and 3, it says, as long as both of them are alive, they are bound to each other. But here it says they are now, this the believer is now free. Please, I want us to understand this aspect very well. He said the believer is now free. If the unbeliever walks out of the marriage. Now, it is not, you see, when a believer marries an unbeliever, the Bible does not allow the believer to leave the unbeliever because they are unbeliever. Because you are under the law of God and you know about the sanctity of marriage to God, you are not allowed to leave that marriage. It's not an excuse to say, my husband is not a believer, my wife is not a believer, so I'm leaving them. No way. So if you marry an unbeliever and you now come to church and you now find a brother, oh, and you now like the brother or you like the sister, and you say, oh, that one is an unbeliever, so you have made your choice. For you, you cannot. The unbeliever is not allowed to walk out, but because he's not under the law of God, he has not chosen to be under the law of God, that's why he will walk away. But for you, you cannot. And I will show us very soon. Okay. He said, but God has called us to peace. People debate this because 1 Corinthians 7, 10 to 11 states a command from Jesus not to separate, divorce, or remarry. And verse 15 uses words such as departs and bondage rather than the clear marriage words we see in Jesus' command in verse 10. I didn't write this, but one thing I want you to take note of is this. I think the word in verse 15 is clear enough. Okay? And I will prove it to you. Consequently, to support remarriage from verse 15, it requires interpreting bondage as synonymous for marriage and forming a view that the verse implies remarriage is acceptable, but it does not actually state that it is. Now, let me say this to us. Remember that the same bound, the word bound, is used in Romans. That same word bound is the one that is used in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So to me, the opposite of not bound is to be free. Is to be bound. So somebody who is not bound is free. And the Bible says that person is what? Is free. Okay. Now, we need to understand this very well. Why did Paul have to talk to the church about a believer marrying an unbeliever? Remember that in the time of Jesus, Jesus was preaching to the Jews. So the issue of a Jew marrying somebody who is not Jew did not even arise at all. It was illegal. But it was when people became saved and the gospel moved to the Gentiles that such an issue like this arose, and Paul had to address it. So that is why Paul had to say this to the believers, so that they know where they stand in such a situation. Because you then had a situation whereby the gospel was preached, maybe the wife would then believe and the husband would not believe. The husband accepts Christ and the wife does not accept Christ. That was the kind of situation that was occurring at that time. And so Paul had to address it, just like today, that the husband may accept Christ and the wife may not accept Christ. And the Bible said you cannot leave your marriage. But then if the husband now says, I don't want you to pray again, or this religion that you have just accepted, I can't tolerate it, I'm leaving, the Bible says let him leave. But if you bring such a case to me, I will try everything in my utmost to make sure that that marriage is working, or to make sure that that marriage works, you know. But if the unbeliever now says he is going, there's really nothing you can do. And I will show you why. Because if we are to go through the whole thing, we probably will not finish today. I will just say, I agree that marriage was recognized in Eden before sin existed. At that time also, everything man did pleased God because there was no sin in man. After man fell, things changed. God was no longer pleased with any man who has not repented. The best of the works of man outside Christ is like a filthy rag. Now, let me quickly ask us a question. If a man has not come to Christ, okay, but this man gives, say he's a giver, he gives money, he helps people. In other words, he's obedient to God saying give. He's giving. Will God recognize his giving? Will God recognize his giving? Okay. He's not born again, but he gives very well. Okay. If a man is not born again, he cares about people. He loves very well. He loves them very well. Is his love recognized? Will it count towards righteousness for him? Praise God. This is my personal belief. And why do I hold this belief? I'm going somewhere with this. Why do I hold this belief? I want us to quickly look at a few verses in the Bible. We all know Isaiah 64 verse 6. It says the best of the works of our hand is but a filthy rag before God, without Christ. Okay. Now, let's quickly look at Psalm 7 verse 11. I want you to read it from King James Version. Psalm 7 verse 11. What does it say? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did he say? God judges the righteous. And God is angry with the wicked every day. Who is the wicked? Hmm? Exactly. One who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. And the Bible says God is angry with such a man every day. So how then can God accept one aspect of his life? God is angry with him every day. Can we open to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8 and 9? Proverbs 15. I'm going somewhere. That's why I'm treating this. Proverbs 15, verse 8 and 9. The sacrifice of the wicked is what? What is an abomination? Huh? Something that is detested, something that is hated. What is the sacrifice of the wicked? What's the equivalent of sacrifice these days? It's worship. So, if the wicked is giving an offering, if the wicked is, you know, giving, if the wicked is doing what seemed to be right, to say, I want to honor God, but has not repented, the Bible says is what? Is an abomination before God. Yes, verse 9. Okay. Okay. What did God... He said, the way... Can somebody read another version? Proverbs 15, verse 9. The way... What is the way? The way of the wicked. What does it mean by the way of the wicked? Another version. 15:9. Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we read another one that does not use the way but uses another? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Any other version? New Living? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let me try. Okay, this one says, the way of the wicked is an abomination, extremely disgusting and shameful, vile to the Lord. But he loves him who pursues righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area. In every area, not one area. I don't know another version. In other words, what is the way? The way of the wicked, that is his lifestyle, the thing he does, you know, he's giving, he's going out, he's coming in. The Bible says it's an abomination before God. Now, the big question is this. I'm going to ask us one question. So, if a man that is not born again and a woman that is not born again, they now choose to marry, they observe a period of courtship, they didn't sleep together before they got married, they went to church and got wedded, and people prayed for them, they paid dowry, they did all that is necessary to be done. Hmm? But they are not born again. Is that marriage sanctified? Hmm? Is that marriage sanctified? Hmm? Okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Praise God. Any other views? Let's talk, because this is a very important topic. It could be a matter of life and death for some people. Okay. Mm. Mm. Please, let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians 7. Let's read from verses 13 and 14. Mm-hmm. Maybe let me please, I want us to listen very well, okay, to this, and then you will respond. And if any woman has an unbelieving husband and he consents to live with her, she should not leave or divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is set apart, separated, withdrawn from heathen contamination, and affiliated with Christian people by union with his consecrated, that is, set apart wife. And the unbelieving wife is set apart and separated through union with her consecrated husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, unblessed heathen outside the Christian covenant. But as it is, they are prepared for God, pure and clean. So what do you make of this part? That we have just read. What is our understanding of this part? I'm sure we know. Let's talk. What's our understanding of this part? Okay. He says, for the unbelieving husband is set apart. In other words, the marriage, the other partner who is not a believer is purified by the believer in the marriage. Right? Am I right? Is that what your Bible says? Okay. So if there is no believer in the marriage, is the marriage purified? Who purifies the marriage? No one. And again, the Bible now goes on to say, he said, by reason of the believer in that marriage, your children is sanctified, not defiled. So in other words, if there's no believer in that marriage, the children will be what? Will be defiled. Okay. So if the marriage is already sanctified, how then would they produce defiled children? If God, do you get the point I'm making now? If the fact that people just simply follow the law and do it accordingly and they get married, then their children should simply become sanctified because they follow the law, right? Because the marriage itself, the process that brought the child, is approved by God. So the child, the product should be approved by God. But remember that plants can only produce after its own kind. People will produce after their own kind. A defiled union will only produce a defiled product. If it's a good union, it will never produce a defiled product. So God will recognize it for what it is. So except somebody, one of them is in Christ, then that union, that, at least that's what the Bible says here. And every one of us can go ahead and study it a bit more. This is my understanding of the Bible. So which means it takes a Christian in a marriage, you know, to purify that marriage. That's what the word of God says here. Now, I now made a point, because verse 15 is where the argument is, that if the unbeliever chooses to leave, can we read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 15? If the unbeliever now leaves the marriage, mm-hmm. Praise God. So the brother or the sister is not, not under bondage. And we said the opposite of bondage is what? Is freedom. So in other words, that brother or sister is free in that case. But God has called us to peace. Please, I'm not in any way advocating divorce. The Bible says God hates divorce. And I will never support it. But when it comes to making a choice, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Do you know why God says, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever? Because God knows that that marriage will run into trouble one day. Go and read, let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 20, King James Version. Somebody to read loudly. Romans 6:20. But when ye were the servant of sins, you were free from righteousness. In other words, you were not in obedience to the law of righteousness when you are servant. So an unbeliever will not be obedient to righteousness. It's not because God doesn't want him to be, but because his mind is not regenerated. That is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 to 13 says, look, he said, I will judge those in the church. He said, for God will judge those who are outside the church. And the reason you will judge those in the church is this, so that they will repent and come back, and so that they will not be judged with the people outside the church. Because if they've taken correction from within the church and repent, then they will not be judged by God, but the people outside the church who are not believing. But if anyone is in the church and still live like people who are outside the church, then that individual stands to be judged by God, just like those who are outside the church. So we need to understand this very clearly. And nobody is advocating divorce. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Just in answer to my brother, finally. Galatians 3, verse 10 and 11. What does it say? Praise the Lord. Do we understand that? That is, obeying or fulfilling one aspect of the law does not justify a man. So, if you obey the law of marriage, you must then obey every law of God. So, if anyone misses an aspect of the law and says he's doing one very well, that person stands condemned. That's what the Bible is saying. And let me tell you, none of us can obey all the laws. The only person that is capable of obeying all the laws is who? Is Jesus. And that's why he came and obeyed all the law on our behalf. And he became the final sacrifice. So, that is why whatever we do now becomes work of faith for us, because Jesus had made the sacrifice. Anyone who has not accepted Jesus that way, whatever he does is not written into his account for him. They may be good. Otherwise, we can all stop coming to church and just be good people outside there. This is what makes the difference, I believe. Do we have any questions? I've taken time on this because it's an area of argument. It's an area, you know, where people will say, look, we have things to prove or say against it. And I will say, look, I will preach the Bible as it is. Okay, it's not my own word. I have no reason, you know, and I've spent my life, I try to work hard to make sure by the grace of God that no marriage breaks up. But we need to know the truth of the word of God. Any question? Yes.
My question is,
Okay. When the unbeliever leaves, the Bible now says the believer, remember I told us that the believer cannot leave a marriage because he's under the law of God and knows the importance of marriage. But when the unbeliever leaves, according to the Bible here, in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 15, it said the believer who is left is not under bondage to the law of marriage. In other words, is as good as like the husband or the wife is dead. That is my understanding of this. Okay. Any other question? Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
In line with that, people who are giving freely, give to the needy, they can still prosper. That will not take them to heaven, but because they do it, there's a reward for being generous, for being kind, but for doing all those things. You can partake in the blessing without going to heaven. That is what I believe.
Okay. Praise God. Yes. If you are doing good to people, automatically, I can't remember exactly in the Bible now, where Jesus was talking about an unfaithful servant who was waiting for the day of trouble and formed partnership with some people and was doing good to them. When you do good to people, people will do good to you in return. That is a natural law. Okay. Now, what the Bible, maybe you were not here when we read Psalm 7 verse 11. Okay, Psalm 7 verse 11, King James Version says, he said, God judges the righteous. And he's angry with the wicked every day. He actually put the word every day there. Okay, so there are people who are known to be nice. And people will be nice to them in return. They will get their reward back for being nice. In terms of it counting towards as a memorial before God. You see, I will give us the example of Cornelius. Cornelius was a good man, wasn't he? He was a very good man. He was giving alms, the Bible said. He was giving alms, he was giving to people and so on. What happened to him? God had to make a way for him to be saved in order for him to be acceptable unto God. For example, if I'm a herbalist and I'm worshiping another God that contends with God and I do something nice to you, you get the point I'm making. You may do something nice to me in return, but that is not God recognizing my goodness. You get the point I'm making? Because I've not been purified before. The Bible says God is, in fact, God. The Bible says God detests the ways of the wicked. I'm sure you heard of herbalists who are very good. Very nice people. Very nice people. There are Muslims that are very nice people too. Am I right? But that does not make you acceptable before God. Can we just read Acts chapter 10, verse 35? Acts 10, 35. What does it say? He that fears God and does righteousness. My brother, for example, somebody may be going out there and say, I don't believe there is God. I don't even believe there is God. Who is God, by the way? But they are nice. They take care of animals. They give to salvation. I mean, they do all sorts of things. Do they fear God? Only those who fear God and do righteousness. Those who don't fear God and they do, you know, to please people, they will get it in return because people will be good to them also. That's why when you give, people will give to you as well. Any other question? Yes. Okay. Yep. Yes. Praise the Lord. I think the Bible made provisions in terms of how often we should forgive. Praise God. Aha. How often we should forgive. But in that particular instance, based on what the Bible is saying here, if you choose to say, look, I'm out of the marriage, based on the Bible, you have not sinned. Okay? If you choose to say, I'm out of the marriage because this person, that's why I put repentance there. Because each time the other party goes to another person, they become defiled. And they come. Okay? If they've not repented and they continue in it, okay, God will give you grace to keep forgiving. But if at a point in time you now say enough is enough, based on what the scripture here says, you have not sinned, you can call it off. And the person can remarry. If it is proven, it's not hearsay, you know, if it is proven. Yes. Any other question? This is very important. Because people will come to us. My prayer is that it will not happen to any one of us in this church in Jesus' name. But I believe that God is discipling us so that we too can go to the nations. But please, if anyone has any further question on this outside now here and you want us to talk about it, please, it's something I've had to research in the last few days. Please, let's come, let's sit down, and we'll go through the Bible. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for your word. The entrance of your word giveth light. It gives understanding unto the simple. We are simple people. Lord, we pray that our hearts will continue to be enlightened by your word in Jesus' name. Our Lord and our God, it is not the hearers of the word, but the doers of the word. Father, we will be the doers of your word in Jesus' name. I pray for our homes, O Lord. You will sustain our marriages in Jesus' name. Our marriages will be exemplary. They will be those marriages that the world will see and say, look, it is good to serve the Lord in Jesus' name. Every wiles of the enemy, every tricks to cause confusion in our homes, our Lord and our God, you will expose him in Jesus' name. We are not going to fall to his temptations, but Lord, we will shine like stars for you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen.